see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad and the air is acid rain. There's a rumbling in the ground, and they're talking about the beast. Good mothers cry, cause the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
And welcome to Watchmen for Jesus program. This afternoon, my name is Thomas Gamble. I am the host of this program today. Welcome. Family, today I want to talk about deception methods. You know, people listen to the news about financials, protection, truthers, preparations, the coming New World Order, all these kind of things. What they don't realize is the media is totally controlled by the Illuminati. You know. It's like the three little pigs, I use this often, I guess, listening to a radio channel by the big bad wolf saying the safest place is to go. Yeah. And there you go, put that one in gold. Like the three little pigs like to listen to radio. And they listen to a station they like the best that tells them the safest places to go in the woods. It's hosted by a big bad wolf. That's exactly what the news is today. I mean, it's controlled by the Council of Foreign Relations. Anybody that works with, talks to, briefs the CFR or Illuminati, otherwise wouldn't be there. That organization is infested with the Freemasons, Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, all these secret societies. And they run the White House. They tell the White House, they tell Queen Hillary what to do. With her own words, she says, but what direction she takes comes from the Council of Foreign Relations. The Council of Foreign Relations is a member of the Round Table, which is a discussion group of six nefarious, evil organizations, Trilateral Commission, the Royal Institute of National Affairs, Council of Foreign Relations, United Nations representatives, Gorbachev Foundation, Club of Rome, and the Bilderberg Group make up the round table. This is after they've discussed in their own meetings about the agenda for the humanist agenda from the Humanist Manifesto, their objectives. Their talking points are then submitted up to the Committee of the 300 and other Illuminati royal blue bloodline families. That's how it really works in this world. We break this down in this broadcast to exactly what's going on. And I'm hoping nobody believes me, so they'll go out and check it out and find out whether I'm right or wrong. And that's where it all starts, because you're going to find out. I've done my research. I don't buy, sell CDs, all this kind of thing. I don't talk about gold or silver or copper or I don't know, whatever. I talk about this raw truth about how this world is deceived. It's there. It's not just me. There's people before me. Where do you think I got my info from? From real truth tellers, Bill Cooper, Nesta Webster, Gary Kaa, Anthony Sutton. I got like 25 real truth tellers. Not what you got today. Most all of them, what you have today are members of the Illuminati, Freemasons, Knights of Malta, Zionists, or whatever. I mean, there's a mixed bag of these people. And I'm just, you know, it's disgusted. It disgusts me, actually. Because you got people out there sincerely wanting to know what's going on. They see things changing. So they go to the places that they think has the right words that are popular, they're syndicated and all this kind of thing, when in reality, it's quite opposite. Actually, there's a quote that sums it right up and tells you exactly that in a time of universal deceit, telling the truth becomes a revolutionary act, by George Orwell. So you even have, he was Illuminati, but you even have these Illuminati that they have to tell you the truth, but they do it in such a way the average person won't catch it. Or they see it as fictional storylines. Then they'll link up with the fictional storylines with what the truth is, and therefore it downplays it. That's how they do it. But there's another quote that does it even better, that tells you how they do it and how they deceive the public on a regular, consistent basis. And that quote I've quoted many times before by Vladimir Lenin, who was nothing more than a trained SEAL, no pun intended, not SEAL, but a trained circus SEAL, like Obama and like Putin, all these others, low level. That's what they are. They're low level. They're not presidents and controlling other countries. Obama goes by a script given to him by the controllers. So is Putin and all the rest of them. They're a dime a dozen on that level. Lenin was just another one. But Lenin parroted, just like all the rest, true strategies, true statements, because they have to tell you what they're going to do before they do it. One. Number two, they do it just for arrogance. And they put these people through training. Well, Lenin said, and I quote, "The best way to control the opposition," that would be us, "is to lead it ourselves. As long as you have dissension and rebellion," Think what I just said. "As long as you have dissension and rebellion, you will have repression and dictatorship by consent." That is why the Vatican, using a Jesuit, two of them actually, by the name of John Calvin and Martin Luther in the 16th century, created the sect of Protestantism to control those that rejected Roman Catholicism. That is why, in the 6th century, the Vatican created the religion of Islam. They create the rebellion and dissension to justify repression and dictatorship. How significant is that? Well, St. Bartholomew Massacre in the 16th century was quite significant. 70 to 100,000 French Huguenots were massacred by the Vatican in a one-week period. That's pretty significant. How significant? Well, the Vatican, even between 1200 A.D. and 1800 A.D., the Vatican, the church fathers, and then later to become, well, Vatican, massacred, murdered, without cause, without reason, 50 to 68 million people in Europe, called the Inquisition, for nothing, except that they followed Jesus Christ. Yeah, oh yeah, they sure did. That's pretty significant. You create the opposition. You create the wars. You create the movements within the movements. So you'll have repression and dictatorship by consent. But only when you create chaos, you get order. It all matches together. All comes together. And they tell you what they're going to do, man. It's right there in front of you. But they want to dumb us down so you won't go seeking knowledge elsewhere. But they have to tell you the truth. They do it such a way, you see, that you won't rely upon your own methods of finding truth. And certainly, they don't want you relying upon the Holy Spirit to give you wisdom and discernment. Today, I'm going to talk about some news. I'm going to talk about how they deceive you in the public view. Your Alex Jones and Quayle and all these guys. Your pulpit, how what they do. I'm going to talk about that today. You need to know. You need to arm yourself. And how to eat the chicken, spit out the bones when you're told this, that, and the other. And to trust yourselves and your own research. Never, ever, ever, ever take one person's view or report on something. An article don't mean it's true. I showed you that with what Feinstein said about the vets, that we're all dumb and shouldn't have weapons, words to the effect. Well, that was a twist of words by Quayle. That's not exactly what she said at all. They twist it in order to foment dissension and rebellion. That's what this May 16th march is supposed to be about. Or the threat of it might be enough that will bring in both sides to an agreement. And both sides of any military coup, or whether the government stays in power, either side is evil. Knights Templar is evil up to their nose. Knights Templar, Knights of Malta, Columbus, Knights of Columbus, these so-called white hats, no sir, no way. Anonymous, and they work with the rebellious group on the side of the government to create dissension and rebellion, to justify repression and dictatorship by consent. Right down to the individual schools, and I may cover that today, how far down they go. I'm going to dedicate the broadcast right now. And I give an example of what I'm talking about. How far down they go with this is unbelievable. How detailed that they are. Lord, today we come before you in prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus. Lord, we pray for our brethren today. Father, those that are being demonized, families that are being attacked. Father, we see this. Lord, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that's there for us. Lord, we thank you for your Son who died on the cross for our sins, that our prayers will be heard. But Father, lead us in being obedient, convicting us of our sins. And Father, give us a pathway of which we can repent of those sins. We pray, Father, for those family members that are falling away, those family members that are interruptions, that, Father, you can reverse that and touch their hearts, Father, because they're being demonized. They're being pushed. Lives are being interrupted through supernatural means by using material efforts. Father, pray for the husbands to be sanctified by the wives. We pray for the brothers and the to be sanctified by the sisters and the families to sanctify each other, that, Lord, they'll pray together by those who are believers and be touched by the Holy Spirit, by the witnessing. The Father, to take down, to get rid of that pride and ego that opens up a pathway that truth can come in. And, Father, that these families that has one on the path and one not on the path, Lord, being targeted big time, big. And, Father, we need that Holy Spirit to wake those up that's not on the pathway to join in with their families. Father, to protect them with the blood of Jesus that keep the demons back. And answer to prayers that will foment more prayers, will bring more prayers, and Father, to give those prayers answers. And Father, those answers being held back, that Lord, you'll use the Holy Spirit to give them wisdom, discernment, to find out the problems and the reasons why. It's one of the reasons why, Father, we pray this prayer. We pray this prayer, Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and from the heart, from the soul. And Father, for the time to come, we plead that precious, uncorruptible body of blood of Jesus over myself, over ourselves, Father, those that's praying and their families too. Everything that belongs to us, Lord, we pray it over. We ask you, Lord, for giant warrior angels and those to be loosed from heaven, especially now, Lord, to surround and protect us. And as your war club and weapons of war, Father, we ask the Holy Spirit to break down, undam, and blow up all walls of protection around all these witches, warlocks, wizards, Satanists, and all the like. And Lord, we ask the Holy Spirit to break the power of all curses, hexes, these vexes, spells, charms, and fetishes, all psychic prayers, all psychic thought, all witchcraft and sorcery, magic and voodoo, all mind control, the jinxes, the potions, bewitchments, the death and destruction, the sickness and pain they cause, the torment, the psychic power, the psychic warfare, the prayer chains to be broken up, and everything else being sent in my way, those our way, and their family members' way, and return it to the senders with the demons right now, and sevenfold back to them, and bind it to them by the blood of Jesus. And Father, we pray that these lost souls, that they'll find the light of your Son, Jesus, and their own snares and traps have been set against themselves, and in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, to loose them from all mind control of Satan. And Father, we also ask that you bind the Holy Spirit to their hearts, and this to serve, him to serve as a guide to your Son, Jesus, and they may be set free from the bondages of Satan. And Father, that's why we pray the belt of truth that be buckled on our waist. We pray for the breastplate of righteousness to protect our inner selves and cover our integrity, spirit, and soul, and to guard our heart for the wellspring of life. And we pray on the gospel shoes of peace to stand in these shoes and good news on a firm foundation of Jesus Christ, our solid rock. And I pray, Father, the shield of faith into the hand now, that we might extinguish every dart and arrow that's launched from the enemy to take us down spiritually, physically, mentally, or emotionally. And Father, we pray on the helmet of salvation. Protect our minds from the thoughts that can lead us astray. And finally, Lord, we take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of Almighty God through the King James Bible. And we pray these offensive weapons into our hands and ask that your word would be fitting for every encounter we face. That's why, Father, we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And to lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. And Lord, we also pray for those veterans, Lord, to protect them through the psychotropic drugs and the vaccinations they have, and to stop the voices in their heads, Lord. We pray for protection of those children that's being sought after for abduction and these sacrifices that's going to take place this month and next month, and for their protection and for their release. In all these things we pray, in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Family, we are at war right now, and it's increasing. And it's not Putin. It's not Obama. It's not some other somewhere, I don't know, shooting this and firing that. All that is just distraction that they want to keep you all busy. But what matters is James 5:16. Confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Because, family, all that is hidden will be brought into the light. And Freemasons, take heed. There is no secret you will maintain that will not be revealed. Because they're going to, as you say it, people say it, they're going to throw you under the bus. Chapter 15 of the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. That will happen. As a matter of fact, you are warned in the Bible. Psalms 34:21. It tells you that the evil shall slay the wicked. And that will happen. Judgment will fall upon this earth. There's no way around it. Only thing happens now, for now, is delaying the inevitable. And the delay is a good thing, because that means many more can come to the glory, come to the gospel of Jesus Christ and be saved. But there's a point, and there's a time when God's going to say, that's enough. And we turn away from God, as Martin Luther King said, judgment will fall upon this nation. He is way ahead of the ball game. Psalms 34:21, evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. There is no way around that. You see, your temporary successes is your rope to hang. Because God's given you this opportunity. Many divine appointments that you ignore because that blood oath has you entrapped. By renouncing the blood oath of the Freemasons, Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, and whatever the secret society you belong to, by renouncing that blood oath, you no longer are under the bondages of Satan. The oath is not under God at all. You've sinned against God, yes. Matthew 5:33-37. You take no oath at all, and idle words do not exist. Every word God takes, shall we say, to heart. Don't matter if you're joking, don't matter what you're doing, God don't have that sense of humor. Everybody likes to put it off that God has a sense of humor. Well, I ask you this. If you gave up your son to die on a cross for those that are guilty, and your son is innocent, but he dies for you, how much of a sense of humor does God have, do you think? Would you do this and then laugh about your dead son or daughter and make a joke out of it? Have a Christian comedian come around to your church? You've got to be kidding me. God's word is not to be mocked. You've got churches, Baptist churches. You've got churches, Methodists, whatever. It doesn't matter, just churches that have these traveling jokers, so-called evangelists that laugh. They have jokes. I don't think it's funny that if you give up your son or daughter to someone else to die for them, that that's a joking matter. Well, I don't think God does either. Because he died on the cross for the sins that we committed, to laugh it away at a church or laugh it away when people's hearts are hurting. It's simply there to calm them down, but doesn't solve the issue of their repentance, desire to repent, or to have consolation. It's not in laughter of a joke mocking God's word, but it's in consolation of God's holy word being given to them. Satan is very tricky. Last night, I was supposed to go on Revelation Radio, but they couldn't make it, various reasons, and so I went ahead with the program, kind of as my own, I guess, and I do anyway. And I talked about Easter and the reality of what Easter really is. Last night's show, there's archives are there, and I may talk about it this week, it's coming up on the broadcast side, but it's already there, posted on my website in the MP3. And I cover in detail about Easter, what really is Easter all about. What I didn't cover last night, that even though Easter is massively 100% pagan, as proven by the King James Bible, Acts 12 verse 4 and Acts 12 verse 3, confirms it. The other Bibles don't allow you to do that because they're corrupted. They use the wrong word, Passover, there for when it should be Easter. Easter is 100% pagan. The activities of the fallen angels and the demonic realm, the satanic realm, is alchemy. Manipulation of principles that God set up using life force energy that they harness, you understand, by ritual, sacrifice, into opening up portals, thereby allowing the manifestation of the fallen angels into this realm. You have coming up in May an ungodly, evil festival called the Wesak Festival. That nobody talks about. Family, it is not a Woodstock on steroids, although you could look at it that way. It's a celebration and a planning process of Satan, fallen angels that are actually manifested into this first heaven physical realm that actually participate and direct, organize, while everybody else around the Wesak Festival are into tarot cards and reading and dancing around the stupid maypole and all these other things going on to keep them placated. While behind the scenes, sacrifices of children are going on, orgies, blood rituals are happening right under their noses. And they use this frolicking, the emotion generates power and energy. You got the idea. And they somehow harness that, especially with the torment, the pain that's caused by sacrifices. All focused like a laser beam into a portal. Now, we are to worship God every day, not just a holiday. But notice all the holidays fall on specific periods of time during the year. Well, yeah, those times of the year are the times when the portals can be opened, and no other time. That's not a coincidence. That is an alchemy plan. So when they have not only the worship of Christians worshiping on that day, but in addition to their underlying sacrifice that's occurring, Christmas, Easter, Columbus Day, all of them, every one of them, Valentine's Day, all of them. Look them up on your own. You can't find it, I can show you. Unwittingly, Christians participate in this ritual, believing it to be of God, and it's not. I've used this example once before. It's like you have company coming and you want to cook them, bake them a cake. Okay. You don't have time. Okay. So I do have time to run to the store and get some icing. Vanilla icing. Or whatever you like. But the cake I made was a year or two ago. It's a tad bit moldy and wormy. So I use it again. And I put icing on it. Just hope nobody cuts into the cake and see it finds out what's really under the icing. Same thing. The icing fools the Christians, but the cake inside is satanic. We are participating in that by worshiping, like in your sunrise services. And how many churches don't realize this? Now, I've explained in detail the rabbit, that must be Elmer Fudd's hunting days, Easter. The wabbit, wabbit, you know what I'm talking about? And so you got the egg and the big egg and the little egg and egg hunts and all that is all ritualized through Osiris, Semiramis, Nimrod, Ishtar, etc. So when we worship on that one day, everything from the Vatican, everywhere else, the worship is used for evil. Even though individuals may seem closer to God, their energy is being focused on evil ceremonies underneath it. Now look it up on your own. Don't take my word for it. But that's the problem. See, we're supposed to worship God in that season and be thankful for his resurrection. Absolutely. But remember, it's only on one day. Everybody's focused. Why is that? Why just one day? And you don't really know the day. What day is established by the Vatican? There's a problem. You see, they know about the alchemy. They know about astrology. What I've just told you is what they're doing. These are secrets they don't like revealed. This is what they do. Christmas, Mithra, Tammuz. Jesus was born in September, conceived the previous December. Satan knew this. It's all been set up all along. We're to worship God every single day. And the season of his birth, the season of his resurrection. You can worship his resurrection any day you want to. Because that's all that matters. Not the very day. You don't know the very day. The calendar is all messed up anyway. So what's the deal here? Deal is, it's focused on alchemy. It's focused on only a certain period of time that they can open up these portals. They need that life force energy directed at that one event on that one day. I explain that, but not in as much detail as I have right now about why exactly on that day. Family, this is important to know. It's why the demons are going to be riding high April 17th, 15th to April 21st. April 19th is a sacrifice day. I explained that in my broadcast last night. A lot of disasters have happened exactly on the 19th of April. Major disasters and activities and events. So they'll be successful. They were planned on certain days. I've got a long list of them that when I do the demonstration of it, there's no question. April 19th, 1775, British General Thomas Gage sends elite British redcoats into Lexington and Concord to seize stockpiled guns from private citizens. Result was British saw 1,400 of their redcoats and almost all their officers killed by American patriots, the Minutemen. Remember what I read? You'll have repression as long as you have dissension and rebellion. And they, Freemasons, orchestrated this. And with England, worked it out. Boston Tea Party was a bunch of Masons. Family, we never won our history. We never won our freedom from England at all. We're a colony today. A corporation. A dummy corporation. We're not even a country. It's all for nothing. April 19th, 1943, elite Nazi SS troops attacked the Jewish section of Warsaw, Poland, to collect illegal guns. German newspapers labeled the Jews as dangerous, evil threat to society. Does that sound familiar? It ought to. They're doing it again with the militia. Even Sheriff Apayo says, you come within our officers, they're going to shoot you with 30 bullets. That's what Sheriff Apayo said to our militia, border guys. What's he talking about? Has that boy lost his mind? Americans shooting at Americans because they're militia? What's going on? What if they're members of his police force or former veterans, and some of the militia are former veterans? Have these people gone stir crazy nuts or what? What's wrong with Sheriff Apayo, Sheriff Mack? What's wrong with these people? Why are they having their officers shoot our shooting the militia guys? Why are the militia shooting at them? What's going on here? Can't you all folks figure this out? That you're in the Freemasonry? That you're being taught to shoot each other again? Well, actually, it happened in the 1860s. It's called the Civil War. The Rothschilds putting the French on the side of the South, Germans on the side of the North, caused us to fight each other. The exact same thing's happening today, and you Freemasons are dumber than rocks, man, if you think they're going to let you off. I can't believe some of y'all so smart and be so doggone dumb. I think when you took that blood oath, it must have took your brain out. The blood oath is only to enslave you. And yet you call for freedom? You got to be kidding me. You're enslaved by a brotherhood that worships Lucifer. Albert Pike confirms it. Anyway, in April 19th, 1943, the SS tanks stormed the neighborhood and burned the houses to the ground, killing men, women, and children. April 19th, 1943. April 19th, 1993. 50 years later, Attorney General Janet Reno gave the order for elite troops in Waco, Texas, to assault Bridge, Branch Davin compound, tanks dispersing legal CS, setting fire to the buildings. Troops killed men, women, and children who were allegedly stockpiling illegal guns. So British General Gage, little did he know that he would start a trend in government gun confiscation. They all like to do their dirty work on April 19th. I would imagine so. It's a blood sacrifice day. After all, we brought Adolf Hitler over in 1945. He never died. And 10,000 Nazis were brought over, they were experts, into form the NASA, NSA, CIA, and we just put them over. We didn't win. We joined them in our government. The communists controlled Europe, the Vatican, the whole doggone lot of them. Adolf Hitler died in 1965 or 66. Adolf Hitler was second cousin to Stalin, Queen Elizabeth, and Churchill. They're all second cousins. Wake up, man, wake up. Adolf Hitler said, and I quote, "The most foolish mistake we could possibly make would be to allow subject races to carry arms. History shows that all conquerors who have allowed their subject races to bear arms have prepared their own downfall." pillow. Kings and queens, presidents of sovereign countries, are high-level bloodline members of the Merovingian bloodline. Lower-level cousins, bloodline, are put in as presidents and prime ministers of other countries. That's how the world really works. You're going to love this. All of our presidents, confirmed, are in this Merovingian bloodline. All of our presidents. Every one of them except there's one other one. Can't think of his name right now. I'll think of it in a minute. But only one of our presidents were not in this bloodline. Back in the 1830s, he was a president. I can't think of his name right off the top of my head right now. Anyway, so FDR, and I've read you the statement many times before, FDR is a lower level cousin of Hitler. Oh, boy. How about that? And all the other Merovingian, he's like a sixth, seventh, eighth cousin or whatever. That's correct. And in six phases in World War II, they had planned to invade the United States in the sixth phase. And that plan fell apart by 1944. By the way, the president that was not in the bloodline was Van Buren. How he got in there, I don't know the story on that, but exactly. I haven't really studied him specifically, but he got in there as a president. He wasn't necessarily a good president either, which figures. But Van Buren was the one. Make sure you knew that. Thank you. That's what's really going on. That's how the world really works. Now, here's the rub to all this. Right now, these things I'm telling you is helping them. You know why? Because they are wanting you to know how evil the U.S. government is, and the government in the other parts of the world are worthless and all that. They want you to know that. So I take it another step. The reason they want you to know that the governments are worthless and all this and all that is so that you'll accept the New World Order as peace. And that's a bigger lie than the others. See, there is no peaceful solution coming except through Jesus Christ. There is no other. No Ron Paul, no Rand Paul, no Paul Ryan, no, I don't care whoever. Hillary, Dillery, Wesley Clark, Elmer Fudd, if he comes up out of the woodwork, who knows? Maybe he'll catch Bugs Bunny and become a hero. I don't know. Don't matter who they come up with. I mean, no exception. None. And whatsoever. Only Jesus Christ is the one that's going to bring peace to this world. Now, they're going to try to placate the American public. Some jubilee, maybe, paying off debt, I don't know. Some Sanand Emanuel, it looks like what we think Jesus looks like. May stop a war coming. I don't know. It don't make one little difference. It's called the Great Falling Away. Turning toward the New Age movement. The peaceful solution is there once again to placate. They placated us from 1776 to the 20th century, making us think we were free. We never have been. They kept a secret all this time. Why all of a sudden they're letting us know? You ever thought that up? Why all of a sudden they're just revealing all this truth and so forth? You'll find in their protocols, actually, that when all the worthlessness of all governments have been revealed, then they're going to launch in one day the New World Order. But first they must reveal all the worthlessness of governments today. Before it was kept secret. Now all of a sudden it's being revealed. Well, it's falling right in line with their planning. And they're going to bring more evil government than before. Well, Jesus is going to stomp them out like stepping on a strike match. And there's nothing they can do about it. They're falling right in line, as a matter of fact, with his plan to allow it to happen. And then when he's done with allowing it to happen, he's going to stomp them. those that reject what they're doing and take Jesus as their Savior, you will succeed. Heaven is a place that you go. Another dimension, if you want to call it that, or whatever. And we're going back to quantum physics here. That's what it's all about. But all that don't matter. Who cares about quantum physics when you are born again? And he controls quantum physics, by the way, because he created it. He brings you home. I don't care how he does it. I just care that he does. Maybe explain it to him when I get there. But in the meantime, you got to live this life down here. And you will be now back around 180 or 360. You will be demonized, so Satan wants to keep you away from it in many different ways. Now, I want to quickly talk about some of the major articles that's going around. And then I want to talk about, which really is a message to the truthers, the preppers, and Christians, a scripture that you're going to need to know about. First of all, let me cover some couple of things here. The UFO hoax about aliens started in 1897. The predictive programming was H.G. Wells' War of the Worlds novel. Began that predictor of aliens out there. Well, it was a fictional novel. H.G. Wells was a Freemason. That figures. Because this was the plan all along. It began in 1897. In 1917, John Dewey made a quote about how to control. He said, quote, "Someone remarked that the best way to unite all the nations on this globe would be an attack from some other planet. In the face of such an alien enemy, people would respond with a sense of their unity of interest and purpose." In other words, they bring the world together to be attacked globally. The globe would come together. You attack the United States separately, you'd be attacked by Americans coming back at you. You see how it works? Muslims will fight each other, but you attack the Muslims, they all come together and fight you. It's a simple principle, strategy they use. Well, that attack is coming on this world with a fake alien invasion. Been set up for the longest time. Even the Iron Mountain Report talks about an extraterrestrial menace being created. It all started about 1940s. Well, Ronald Reagan many times had parroted this particular quote from John Dewey, and five times in his administration, in face of such an alien enemy, blah, blah, blah. Well, here we go. Billy Bob Clinton. But talk about Hillary here. Anyway, Billy Bob Clinton, an alien invasion, quote, may be the only way to unite this increasingly divided world, unquote. He said that April the 6th, 2 days ago. This is what's called predictive programming. Bill Clinton, Pat Buchanan are two of the most evil individuals on the face of this planet, besides all the rest of them that are Knights of Malta, Knights of Columbus, or in the Luciferian Order. Did you know, in fact, that Madonna and Brad Pitt are in the same family blue bloodline as Queen Elizabeth II and George Bush and the whole rest of them? They keep it in the family. A specific DNA gene that you and I don't have anywhere in the United States or world otherwise. It's a specific genetic trace of Illuminati. They put them in positions of power, harmony, beauty, and the arts, movie stars, singers, dancers, songwriters, comedians, scientists, politicians, and they keep track of their ones. Madonna is a very high-level priestess in the Luciferian Order. Performs rituals right in front of TV. Now you get it? They have the specific gene in order to be demonized, be possessed, That's where they get their talent from, and that's where they get their writing the songs from. They admit this themselves in many cases. I'm not making this up. So Billy Bob Clinton, one of these, cousin of one of the bloodline families. Well, this is called predictive programming. They're planning it even now because it seems like it's going to happen soon. Disclosure. And the one that will show, I'm not going to talk about it right now, but the one that will show is one that they're trying to pair it off as Yeshua, Jeshua, Yahweh. This is nothing more than a fallen angel named Sananda Emmanuel that looks exactly like Jesus Christ, that we think looks like. Family, get ready for the deception. Major chaotic event to happen, and this one named Sananda, calling himself Yeshua, will then be the first phase of disclosure. Now, back to the disasters we talked about and human sacrifice. That's how they bring these wackos and these evil ones into this realm. That's what Easter is all about. That's it. And then in May is the Wesak, W-E-S-A-K, festival. Don't be fooled by festival, the word festival. This thing is a Wesak incantation, a Wesak witchcraft is what it is. Don't be fooled by this placating word called festival. They don't just have funnel cakes there and bobbing apples or whatever they do, or play tarot cards and Woodstock on steroids. No, sir. They murder children at these events like they do Bohemian Grove. Some of your highest level politicians, scientists, sports stars, and other folks involved in this are no better than Luciferian. Pretending to be Christians, pretending to be patriots, and all this other. When I want to expose the deception, that's what I intend on doing. The former president said on Jimmy Kimmel Live, quote, well, Wednesday, that an invasion by extraterrestrials might be the best way to unite the fractious countries of a war-wrecked planet. Well, a war-wrecked planet is created by them. He said, I quote, it may be only way to unite this increasingly divided world of ours. Think about all the differences among people of Earth would seem small if we were threatened by a space invader. That's the whole theory of Independence Day, he said, referring to the 1996 sci-fi disaster flick. Everybody gets together and makes nice. That's almost word for word what Ronald Reagan said when he told the United Nations the following. I occasionally think how quickly our differences worldwide would vanish if we were facing an alien threat from outside of this world. 1987. Family, this is the purpose of these quotes. They were playing a military dictatorship in 84, 87. They don't know what's going to happen. This is the reality of the world in which we live. And the reality is, they lose. They've lost already. Some of them don't even know it yet. There is a study. What's this one? Another one. Study, April the 8th. That's today. A study confirms that Neanderthals, you know, Fred Flintstone, and humans, I quote, got it on, unquote. Now, this is not from tabloid. This is some study they did. You know what they're talking about here? You know you're a Neanderthal? With Satan's efforts of modifying human DNA and then combining them. So they may be right. But Neanderthal was not anything connected to evolution. It's Satan's way of manipulating genetic modification of God's creation. Yeah, evolution was modified. Evolution existed, but as directed by the fallen angels, and they had to wait generations to see their work manifest. They don't tell you that part of evolution. Oh, they're tricky. Now, you remember I said a little while ago, and I'm going to talk about the age of deception here. But a little while ago, I mentioned about how they change the laws and manipulate, deceive. Okay? I'm going to show you how low they really go, how detailed they get. Now, recently, and so keep in mind that they'll take an article, an event, either they'll create it, or they'll find one, or they'll work with a school to design. See, schools are controlled by Freemasonry. Every school in America, in fact, is a school of humanism controlled by Freemasonry. Teachers are in fear of their jobs, or they fall out of line to teach what they want to. The right thing, they will be fired. I have evidence of this. That every school in America is, in fact, every public school is a school of humanism. Charles Francis Potter confirms this in 1930. It pervades itself today in every college and every university. Georgia Ann Geyer quotes it. Roger Kimball, Herbert London of New York University, Charles Francis Potter, Bertrand Russell, confirm what I'm telling you. Now, that being said, they will take an article, an event, or create an event, and they'll plaster that event on a newspaper article throughout the United States. So everybody reads it. And then those that want to overturn the government, the groups are, sir, look at this article. Look what's going on here. And they'll fire them up using psychological manipulation. Christian Identity, KKK, or Black Panthers, or whatever. You see, they get in these meetings. We want to show you, I have a special meeting tonight. Yeah, show up tonight. Yeah, okay. And they'll show up, and they have these articles. They'll pass them out. Then you have special speakers trained by Jesuits or FBI or CIA that these guys don't know. These men are Oath Keepers or KKK or other organizations, NRA, they create these organizations to control. And the people in there are well-meaning. They don't realize their leaders are full of baloney. Here's what they do. Here's one article. It just came out. It's plastered all over the place. And you'll see how they use it for not only predictive programming, but they also use it to incite people, because they remember rebellion, dissension, you get repression. And it's coming up May the 16th. It's all planned out. So here's one article that came out recently. The article says, seventh graders' pencil twirling leads to suspension, psychological evaluation when called gun motions. This is ridiculous. Yet this school does it. Glen Meadow Middle School 7th grader Ethan Chaplin was recently suspended after, he was simply twirling a pencil in math class. And News 12, New Jersey, reported that the Vernon Township, New Jersey, teenager was twirling a pencil with a pen cap on top when another student yelled, "He's making gun motions! Send him to juvie," unquote. But Ethan denies that interpretation of his action and said that the student who yelled the comment had been bullying him earlier and was just trying to get him in trouble. So Ethan was twirling a pencil with a pen cap on top, and although Ethan explained the bullying situation, he says administration ignored his side of the story, and the teen was taken to the principal. News 12 notes that he was suspended pending the outcome of psychological evaluation. Well, here comes Redland. Now, this is family ridiculous. You school administrators, I wish they could hear me, are a bunch of cowards. And you're Freemasons that have taken a blood oath. And you're plumb just doggone stupid. To fall in line with this ignorant kind of activities. Okay, I feel better. Now, the reason they did this was one, international rights of the child is being violated. So that will have the America to want to sign this International Rights of the Children Convention. We didn't sign in 1989, 1990. So we sign it today or whenever it comes up again. They use these justifications. They will take control of your children. That's the purpose of that International Rights of the Child. Number two, in this situation, is to control, showing how much power the school has on your kids. Especially when they start to vaccinate them, and some of them already have. Forced vaccinations. And when you try to take your kid out because your kid texts you, Mom, come get me because they're trying to make us take these vaccinations, and you quit work, or you leave home, whatever, on your way to school, through the red light you go, get there as fast as you can, right? Well, the police are there to keep you from it. That's why they have the felon police force that's going to form to keep you from taking your kid out. You all don't know that yet. I'm telling you now what to get ready to do. That's what Sandy Hook was all about, false flag, to justify putting police in the schools. And you'd want them to. That's called the dialectic. The technical term today is Hegelian dialectic. It is so clever. Now, everybody reads about this. How minuscule this is that we're reading about it here and everywhere else. Because it's part of the manipulation of the public using the media. Now, whether this kid's really a part of it and some ignoramus superintendent saw an opportunity, or whether this kid, his father is a Freemason and they play it out, I don't know. I don't know how they set this up. It's hard to say whether they were paid to do this, so they'll set this thing up, and that's exactly what they would do. And the Vernon School Superintendent, Charles Maranzano, stands by the principal, says she was just doing her job. Aha. Yeah. Maranzano added, we never know what's percolating in the minds of children, okay? And when they demonstrate behaviors that raise red flags, we must do our duty. These people got to be the dumbest people on the face of this earth or the most cowardly. I just don't understand it whatsoever. I just, you know, and people that believe in this stuff, that actually fall in line with this, are nothing any better. Oh, InfoWars, Alex Jones, I see. Spoke to Mr. Chaplin, oh, here we go, fear-mongering, who explained the five-hour-long physical and psychological evaluation his son endured, possible for naught. Okay, yeah. See what they're doing? That leads me right into what I'm going to talk about today. I better get to talking about it because we've got an hour to go. Church of England shrugs off biblical doctrine with new law, of course. Boy, I tell you. Hook, line, and sinker. Well, along those lines, Ayn Rand, mistress of Philip Rothschild. Rand Paul's named after her. Rand Corporation's named after her. Man, we're talking witch and drag. Ayn Rand, humanists, wrote Atlas Shrugged, 1957. Atlas Shrugged, 1957, a fictional storyline, is one of the actual textbooks of the Illuminati. In fictional storyline, they lay out all the principles and strategies used by the Illuminati. And they use this book as their textbook, unknown to a lot of the public. Okay. Ayn Rand was channeled in using this book, writing this book. Here's what she says, and this applies to the pistol situation, and among other things. Here we go. Quote Ayn Rand, there's no way to rule innocent men. The only power any government has is the power to crack down on criminals. Well, when there aren't enough criminals, one makes them. One declares so many things to be a crime that it becomes impossible to live without breaking laws. Now, part of the storyline, she continues, quote, but just pass the kind of laws that can neither be observed nor enforced or objectively interpreted. You create a nation of lawbreakers, and then you cash in on guilt. Now, that's the system, Mr. Reardon. That's the game. And once you understand it, you'll be much easier to deal with. Unquote. That goes right along with Vladimir Lenin's quote. Now, the best way to control the opposition is to lead it ourselves. As long as you have dissension and rebellion, you will have repression and dictatorship by consent. Soak in. Let it soak. Now, I will give you an actual quote from an actual president, one of the most evil ones we've ever had, besides Bush, Clinton. Oh, gosh, I keep going. Based on that quote I just gave you, the best way to control opposition is to lead it ourselves. As long as you have dissension, rebellion, you will have repression and dictatorship by consent. Vladimir Lenin, in March 4th, 1939, President FDR said 2 years before Pearl Harbor and 6 years after a military coup was planned by their administration and the elite. Behind closed doors, President Roosevelt, the real president, not the will they will live in infamy liar, but the real president said this behind closed doors in front of three congressional committees as witnesses. Senator Lundeen was one of the witnesses who gave this quote through his diary to Red Fog Over America, written by William G. Carr, 1955. And the real President FDR, representative of all the presidents, except for McKinley, Lincoln, and JFK, FDR said the following behind closed doors. Quote, I am making no concessions to business or for relief. I have a military machine sufficient to stop any organized revolt. I am putting my people, that's the Illuminati, by the way, ahead of all instruments, that's the American people. I'll have had a full understanding with Chamberlain, and we will destroy this unemployed condition with a war and a war only. To hell with American people as far as the democracy is concerned. It does not exist. It never did. And we will never let it happen that way. I'm going to crush business, infest America with all the aliens possible, and the last analysis, declare martial law and confiscate everything I need for a true and forceful dictatorship. My New Deal, stimulus plan, War Powers Act, etc. My New Deal is a failure, and I know it. But no one else will tell me I must discontinue my present activities and program. Unquote. Now that's the real presidential administration. And Ron Paul's no better. He's a Rosicrucian. Family, they've all infiltrated through the secret societies in our government. And they lose because Jesus Christ won on the cross of Calvary. It is a supernatural war. These presidents, these family bloodline members, there's no way possible they could carry this same agenda from 1700s until today. Not possible. Unless they were a family bloodline and are led by supernatural influence. Called channeling. And as a matter of fact, I have evidence of that as well. In Red Fog Over America by William G. Carr, 1940s, 1950s, he wrote the book in 1955, prepared it before, of course, and he was convincing as best he could in the 1950s about this conspiracy. He presented several clergymen to show them how Satan has organized this world as allowed by God because sin was brought into this world through Adam and Eve. Oh, it goes a long way back. Well, in one case, I'll read you a quote. Page 41, first edition, Red Fog Over America. Quote, that, parentheses, as Henry Ford remarked so many years ago, close parentheses, Henry Ford, by the way, was Illuminati and a humanist, continuing, is the amazing thing about the protocols that learned out of Zion, the worldwide plan is what that is, about the protocols. No person who studied them can deny that the conspiracy has developed exactly as those who conceived the original plans intended. One clergyman with whom I discussed, that's William G. Carr talking, one clergyman with whom I discussed this matter remarked, nothing human could have been so absolutely correct, so perfect in regard to timing and purpose. You have convinced me that the international conspiracy is the conspiracy of Satan. He continues, but the reader must remember another great truth. I believe it was Edmund Burke who said, all that is necessary for the triumph of evil is that good men sit back and do nothing. That doesn't mean armed rebellion. Actually, that leads me into Matthew 6:25 to 6:34, by the way. Interesting how this all works out. I never planned this all. And this all came in the past 30 minutes, 40 minutes, actually. This is wild. Anyway, I want to talk about, as I mentioned on the TalkStream Live, as one of the... Oh, by the way, I want to remind you all, before I continue, that we are played randomly up in highportradio.net. John Kirkler, New Jersey, New York, and Pennsylvania. He has a network up there that he plays out, and he's growing his network, and he has sponsors up there, so give him a hand. Highportradio.net, John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R. And he plays our broadcasts and our Bible studies. Also, KBLU Radio in Colorado. Thomas there plays our broadcast, sidecast, same time. Blue Raven Network at KBLU Radio. My website is watchmenforjesus.com. And I've got some very few studies there, but they're massive. I keep it simple. Primarily, I use the website for connection with my broadcast, and I put a couple, two or three massive type studies there that will keep you busy. I also want to mention something that relative to one of the studies I've got there, very quickly. Family, listen. This HPV vaccine, you doctors and nurses, shame on you. This HPV vaccination is designed to sterilize your children. That's the purpose of it. It's not about HPV vaccine. They're lying to you. It's already killed 144 girls, injured 20-some thousand. It's designed to sterilize both boys and girls, and it's successful. That's a long story. I have a study there. That's a short story. I have a study there on my website that shows you. Here's my point for bringing it up. March the 31st, 2014. HPV vaccine harms have Japanese demanding no more HPV vaccines. Separate study, I found out India ceased using HPV vaccines after four had died. We have 144 dead. Why can't America demand that these teachers, these nurses and doctors that promote it resign? Go back to being working at Burger King, McDonald's. They do much better there. Instead of promoting something that's going to kill your children and render them physically sometimes unable to operate, to be normal. Don't they have any conscience at all in the doctors and nurses corps? Oh, my mistake. I forgot. They're under a blood oath by the Freemasons. Oh, that's right. And Eastern Stars and Wicca. Oh, that's correct. I forgot about that. That would mean that they're bound by their blood oath not to tell you. Okay, I got it. How come we're the only one promoting it and everybody else is stopping it? Moms, where are you? What are you doing? Governor Perry tried to make it mandatory in 2010. And he did stop him. Congratulations, Texas. Good thing Alex wasn't there. In any case, passed it through. Then they stopped it. Governor Perry tried to get it through. That was success. So they're still trying to get it through. So your doctors and nurses that you trust, oh, yeah, they should get this vaccine. No, they shouldn't. You're playing Russian roulette with your child. But you're not playing Russian roulette if they're ever going to have a kid again, because they're not going to be able to. Or they'll have miscarriages. That's the purpose of it. I got the article there. Look up the article. HPV vaccine harms. Have Japanese demanding no more HPV vaccine. March the 31st, 2014. Then look up where India stopped it after 4 deaths. And in my study I got there, you can take off with that. Well, I want you to know that. That was put in my heart to tell you. All right. All these things that come up, Aswani, I just don't understand why people can't do the research. Sometimes. Now, tonight's Bible study, 7:30 to 9. Oh, we're going to be busy. A lot to talk about to raise the awareness level up. I want to do it all this week, as much as possible. From pollution to politics, this era of deception and duplicity has reached new heights, hijacked every form of media. They control all the media through the Council of Foreign Relations, the Illuminati. Every major newspaper was bought out in 1915 by J.P. Morgan. The torch was passed on, no pun intended there. The torch was passed on to Rockefellers in 1921, the Council of Foreign Relations. Tavistock was formed. The Royal Institute of International Affairs, Illuminati in England, was formed, all 1921. Then took up the torch to control all media 100%. Have they made mistakes and let things through? Yeah, but not too many. Edward Bernays used it extensively to brainwash a nation. Edward Bernays. Every media. But they still have to tell you the truth. So eat the chicken, spit out the bones. Now, how many more lies will people around the world accept as truth? Now, the King James Bible is the only truth you're going to get. Of any book at the Vatican, any book at the National Library in D.C., any book at the London Library, literally, the King James Bible is the only truth and predictor what's getting ready to happen that you have on this planet. Now, I've explained that before, but I won't go into it right now. every other Bible will have some truth in it. Every other book will have some truth in it, but it will be based on secular perception. I mean, every single one of them. God promised his word would be preserved, and it was. But the way they keep us busy is by disinformation through the media, through TV, through newspapers and so forth, magazines, etc. And because they have a Nobel Peace Prize, or they're on NBC and they've written 25 books, man, that don't mean one thing. From Harvard, that doesn't mean a thing. Because every college and university is a university and college of humanism. Every public school is a school of humanism. That means it's dirty as yesterday's laundry. Everything I'm telling you, I have evidence for and quotes, dates, names. I just don't make this stuff up. Some of their rules are, is hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil. In other words, regardless of what you know, don't discuss it, especially if you're a public figure, news anchor and so forth, unless you're going to use it for manipulation. If it's not reported, it didn't happen. They avoid discussing key issues. Instead, they focus on the side issues, which can be used to show the topic as being critical of some other otherwise secular group or theme. It's also known as how dare you, a distraction. They avoid discussing issues by describing all the charges, or regardless of any venue or evidence, as just mere rumors and wild accusations. Or they've got their own minions inside fear-mongering, increasing the effects, that exacerbating it, using derogatory terms that's mutually exclusive of truth, works as well. They tell you 90% truth or 80% truth and lie the rest of it, or misdirect. Sometimes they'll make up an issue, may simply imply exists based on interpretation of an opponent. Arguments, they just make it up, fabricate it. I know that one named Jones fabricated an attack by Putin on December 31st, 1999. Putin never did an attack. The thing that's going on today in the Crimea and the Ukraine was actually being shouted as real events in December 31st, 1999. It never happened in the Alex Jones Show. I was there in Kosovo on the border for 4 years. I worked there 5 years. I worked in Kosovo. And I frequently visited the border of Serbia, the boundary, excuse me, of Serbia and Kosovo. I was a security manager there. There's never a war from Russia over there whatsoever. It's completely a lie on the radio. I never understood that, actually, why that happened. Why it was put it out of the the radio like that. One of the best ones is to attack the messenger. Sidetrack your opponent with the name-calling and ridicule. It's unfounded. You attack the messenger, your ploy, your other methods qualify as variants of it. For example, there are kooks, night-wing, liberals, left-wing, terrorists. And you give examples, labels of such, conspiracy buff, radical, militia, racist, so forth. This makes others shrink from support out of fear of getting the same label. So when you have those on the higher level radio talk shows that act crazy, and they talk about the same things you're talking about, then you start shrinking from talking about it, because then you'll be identified as one of those crazy ones on the radio. That's by design. They're trained to do this. This is not accidental or quirks in the personality of character. This is the technique they use. Or you make a brief attack of your opponent, and then you scamper off before an answer can be fielded, or simply ignore any answer. That's done a lot on YouTube and Facebook and so forth. Disregard anything you write as any valid comeback. They have NSA Winnies and CIA folks that goes around paid to act as trolls or shills on YouTube and Facebook by design. You imply some hidden agenda. You avoid opponent charges with old news. You put old news down and you exaggerate it. Family, all kinds of just amazing ways that they come up. This is training that they've done. They fit the facts to alternate conclusions. Manipulate. They requires creative thinking on their part, but unless the crime was planned with the contingency conclusions in place. They love to change the subject, sidetrack with discussion, abrasive or controversial comments, turning attention to a more manageable topic that they can control. They emotionalize and antagonize and goad opponents. They ignore the facts presented, demand impossible proofs. That's one of the ones they use all the time. Have false evidence. And then they'll manufacture a new truth, create bigger distractions, try to quiet down critics that go a step further. Another way, they fool you into thinking someone's already fighting the good fight for you. This is frequent. What the NRA was all about. That's what the Tea Party is all about. That's what this march on D.C. with Paul Rykoff or whatever, he's a CFR, he's an Illuminati. About veteran suicides that's being orchestrated. They're calling it some kind of psychological thing. It's not. The veterans know. I know the veterans know that the voices in the head are happening. Well, I'm telling you that they're technology and the pills. Unbelievable psychotropic drugs they give them. These suicides are orchestrated. Your Adam Kokeshes and so forth. Alex Jones, Jeff Rentz, all these guys. They're part of the Illuminati, Freemasonry, CIA, whatever organization, they're all connected. Your controlled opposition appears to be waging a battle against problems or persons. When the time is right, the ball's always dropped. At a crucial time of the game, leave an enemy to win the day. But wouldn't you expect that? When they sue in court, it serves a dual purpose of fooling others into thinking someone's already suing that. When you got someone like Arpaio going after Obama's birth certificate, that's to keep you all busy chasing a fake rabbit. Well, there's somebody doing something, so I just sit back and watch. Uh-huh. That's what they hope you to do. It's a part of the deception. Controlled opposition will also made to be look crazy. They'll act dumb, crazy, wild, ruly. This could be used to discredit the real movement and the genuine figureheads. Waving their fists around, ranting and raving and getting on TV and making a fool of themselves is by design. They're very selective in what they report on. They control the topics of the day. Once media has been saturated with controlled propaganda, the fact that so many are discussing this subject, whatever it may be, means the more often than not, the subject is considered to be, by the masses, to be the topic of the day. They promote disinformation and fear-mongering, no solution. And they keep society in a heightened state of fear with a certain amount of disinformation that dissipates and they bring on something else. Dissipates, something else comes on. Keep it going. Guess what they do? Y2K, chemtrails, plum, all these things may be true, but they use them and never give you an option except rebellion and dissension. Ha ha! Yeah, you got that. They promote diversions and run psyops, psychological operations. Intimidation is a big part of their psychological warfare. Prophetic Seer, Dutch Sense, and all these people. Theatrical performances. I'm doing something for you. Like Manning and Snowden. Man, they work for CIA or NSA. They're assets right now, today, pretending to be patriots, and not at all. They're told to give you out stuff that you already know. You see? But they're, like Snowden, for example, his rub is this UFO baloney. That's his key. So he tells you all this good stuff that's true, right? And everybody says, oh, yeah, that's great. Oh, hero. Yeah, go. And by the way, the UFOs are real. So if it's all this true here, then this must be true too. The UFOs are fallen angels. They're demons. And there's no good ones on either side of the game. This is a trick they're going to throw at you, that there are, and there's not. And these aren't aliens. They're fallen angels. They're demonic. Assange, Manning, Snowden, they're all in the same ball of wax. Sell books, get Nobel Peace Prize, all this, that, and the other, to give them that credibility. Nobel was Illuminati. Cecil Rhodes, Rose Collar. Cecil Rhodes was Illuminati. And they get the point? Oh, man, they are so tricky. They perform data collection, information retrieval from all those in those organizations. Facebook, Spacebook, whatever, YouTube, meetings of certain organizations, get your phone number, and they use it for data mining. They become your friends first. They find people in your chat group they can coordinate with. They'll say the right things that everybody's saying, and then start turning little by little. Oh, they're tricky. And they're good, too, at it because they're trained this way. They promote a bogus story as legitimate. And then they discredit those who support it by having controlled opposition agents at places at the time of their choosing to discredit the information completely. It's called a honey trap. I've had this tried on me many times. A little voice says, nope, don't put that on the air. I had one person tell me stuff. Tom, they got this, that, and the other going on. You better put it out this weekend. The little voice said, nope, don't do it. I didn't. It never did pan out. None of them did. It's called the honey trap. Because that when you do that and you trust this person, I knew about this also. It worked. I knew that what I heard from them, I could not trust it. And you know one of the characteristics? That person claimed to be Christian, right? But they hated the King James Bible. They wanted me to keep calling Jesus Yeshua. And they hated the King James Bible. I said, nope, man, they ain't getting no word from God. That's for sure. So then I completely just, and it worked out every time that they were also broadcasters. But so it was a honey trap they tried to set me up with. So if I was to really trust them and put the information out that they told me to put out on the radio, thinking I'm doing the right thing, and never came to pass, there goes your credibility. Family, this is clever stuff they've got going on. They practice mind control and social engineering. If you want to divide the police and army from civilians, you have controlled opposition run only articles and videos that shine a negative light on police and military. And that's exactly what they're doing today. It's an attempt to incite lawlessness and criminality. It's intentional. It's planned. And it's working. Like your Mac Adams, like your Alex Joneses, these guys. And those, Quayle and Dizdar and a lot of them, they're against the King James Bible. So immediately that tells me, no way Christian. No way. Because the King James Bible is the holy word of God. To go against it, that's the trick. They control the airwaves and consequently allowed to be seen by the American public. Shills, undercover. Speaking on behalf of the establishment, VIP access to lights, camera, and action. Controlled opposition have an ability to drain the energy, especially in the form of finances, from those who oppose establishment forces. They offer solutions, and the solutions they offer will go nowhere. And obvious solutions that have a chance of maybe working are ignored. How about boycotting aluminum or stopping chemtrails? No. How about talking about boycotts actually work? But how about naming the Knights of Malta as the enemy? No, they won't do that. Or the Freemason Society. To the Freemasons, that they're your enemy within the enemy. Because that blood oath, man, get out of there. They won't talk about that. Knights of Columbus, you take the blood oath, for goodness sakes. You see how it works? Well, that's what they do. That's a quick and dirty part of this deception that's really going on today. And it's the rule, not the exception, I'm talking about. You see, that's where you got to learn to what I call eating the chicken, spitting out the bones. And everybody likes people get lazy and they don't want to study on their own. And they depend on somebody else to do it. So if they're a high level, they must be telling the truth. Well, no, it's quite the opposite. They're not. And just because they pretend to be on your side, that don't mean much. It's what they say and do. You got to look at it. Now, brings me to this point that I may talk about again tonight, actually. Today, this covers both sides of the spectrum of truthers, preppers, and Christians. Very controversial. I think I have time to discuss it. This is impromptu, so I'll do the best I can here. I'm not a theologian, but you can check it out on your own if you'd like. Matthew 6:25 to Matthew 6:34. Really hits the target this period of time. Matthew 6:25 says, and I quote, well, I would if I'm reading the Bible. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life that ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, or nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? 26. Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into the barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are ye not much more better than they? 27. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto your stature? Your size. 28. And why take ye thought for raiment, what to wear? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. 29. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. 30. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? 31. Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? 32. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. 34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now, that's Scripture, 6:25, Matthew 6:25. In that passage, when you read it, start at 6:25, for example, it talks about our tendencies, our direction to center our lives around food and clothing, and we miss life's real meaning. God even talks about fasting. It's not easy sometimes. It's change of routine. People live to eat. We eat lunch, eating breakfast. And before you finish breakfast, you're talking about what you're going to have for dinner. Or lunch, whatever you Yankees call it. Yeah. Anyway. And then down here, we also call it, by midday, you're talking about what you're going to eat for supper. And then supper, what are we going to have for breakfast tomorrow? You know, there you go. So you're missing life's real meaning. That's what fasting is all about, to break that up partially, but also for a spiritual connection with God. Having fasting, when I quit doing my video game for a week, that was really killing me. That's not fasting. Well, darling, I'll not go to golf on 4 weekends this month, and I'll fast for the Lord by not golfing. Are you serious? You can't be serious. That's not fasting. It's food, man. It's food. The problem is not so much what we eat and wear today, but what we shall eat and wear 10, 20, or 30 years from now. It's about the worry is what it is. Because such worry about the future, it's worry. Fear and worry is what we're talking about here. Because by fear and worry, you lack faith. By fear mongers in the media telling you, we're all going to die. Oh, a satellite's going to fall the size of a Greyhound bus is going to fall on us. Everybody in America is looking for this darn Greyhound bus. Oh, goodness gracious alive. FEMA camps. Guillotines. All this stuff. Everything added to causes fear and worry. But a worry about the future is sin, because it denies the love, the wisdom, and power of God. It denies the love of God by implying he doesn't care about us, you see. Everything's blamed on God. You can sell a whole lot of freeze-dried food, though. I know what you're thinking. I'm a former U.S. Marine. I believe in survival. I can live out in the woods and all this and all that and blah, blah, blah. But family, I know there's only so much ammunition I can carry. And this bug-out bag can only carry so much. I can put an iron pot in there. Just a little bit. Don't have to have an Alice pack. Live off the land. Well, so is everybody else. You know, there's only so many deer out there. You understand? You only carry so much freeze-dried food. You only carry so much ammo. You're going to use it. It's going to weigh you down. Where are you going to live? What are you going to eat? How much can you carry with you when you bug out? And when you bug out, where are you going to bug to? Where the bugs aren't. You know, how long are you going to live there? Man, it's not like Daniel Boone. There's a lot more people that know about the same places you know about. And you will run out of food. Aunt Martha can only can so much. And by the way, don't they think that you're surviving? They're going to come to your house. What are you going to do? Kill your neighbors and bury them outside and eat them too? What are you going to do? You are going to run out of food. You are going to run out of ammunition. You're going to run out of everything. What do you do then? I didn't say not be prepared. The point is, whatever you have, you're going to run out of it. Being prepared is a good thing. Preparing for the future is a good thing. What about Moses and the Israelites? Man, they got to some kind of thirsty, didn't they? How much could they carry with them when they left Egypt? What did God do in the moment of trial? That's why Moses had to stay righteous. Or God wouldn't have answered the prayer. It's about worry. Prepare as much as you can, certainly, whatever you can. But let God work too. You only prepare so much. He denies, it denies, this worry denies his wisdom by implying he doesn't know what he's doing. It denies the power by implying he isn't able to provide for our needs. But also it doesn't mean, I said, I'm just going to worry about nothing. I'm going to sit here, Lord, and look at my TV and go play golf or just read my Bible and not do anything about nothing. The morning comes. Lord, where's my breakfast at? I looked for it. You didn't serve it to me. Where's my breakfast, Lord? Lord, don't love me. Oh, you see? Do what you can. Let God fill up the rest. This type of worry causes us to devote our energy to making sure we have enough to live on. Before you know it, your lives have passed. You've missed the central purpose which we were made for. God didn't create us in his image with no higher destiny than that we should consume food. We're here to love, worship, and serve our Lord Jesus Christ. To serve God. Oh, by the way, he is God incarnated. You understand that, right? And we're to represent his interests on earth. Our bodies are intended to be our servants, not our masters. That's what fasting is all about. And it talks about in the scripture, the birds of the air. It talks about how he cares for the birds of the air. His creatures. They preach to us how unnecessary it is for us to worry. They neither sow nor reap. As God feeds them. So, in God's hierarchy of creation, we're more value than the birds, you would think, right? We can surely expect God to take care of our needs. We should be able to. If our prayers are going to be answered. Now, I don't want to infer or to lead anyone to think that we shouldn't work for the supply of our present needs. Go to Paul, and he reminds us, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 10. But we shouldn't also conclude that it is wrong for a farmer to sow, reap, and harvest. The activities are a necessary part of his providing for his current needs. Now, what Jesus forbids is multiplying barns and attempt to provide future security independent of God. That's the key right there. Independent of God. If you'll find this also in Luke 12, 16 to 21. So, when you go to verse 26, Matthew 6, 26, there's a reference in the Daily Notes of the Scripture Union. Talks about it, and it summarizes it like this. The argument is that if God sustains, without their conscious participation, creatures of a lower order, he will all the more sustain, with the active participation, those for whom creation took place for in the first place. And you know, to worry about the future, it will not only dishonor to God, but also is futile to worry about the future. That's obvious. The Lord demonstrates that from a question, which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to the stature? In other words, by worrying, and you're a short guy, how can you add to it to be a tall guy? You can't. A short person cannot worry himself 18 inches taller. You might worry yourself into a heart disease, but not stature. But relatively speaking, it would be much easier to perform this feat than to actually worry in existence all these provisions for one's need in the future. Only so much you can carry. Now, if you go on to Matthew 6, 28 to 29, to 30, pretty much in those three verses, it talks about how unreasonable worrying really is. That we will not have enough clothing in the future, that the lilies of the field, probably wild, they don't toil nor spin, that their beauty is greater than that of Solomon's royal garments. And when you go to 6:31 and 32, it's coming to a conclusion, is that you can't spend your entire lives in anxious pursuit of food and drink and clothing for the future. You can prepare all you want, and you should prepare. But what after is my point. Only so much you can put together. To sit back and let God do everything is not going to work. But you have to do what you can do to prepare for the future, but not worry about it. Worrying and not doing are two different things. The unconverted Gentiles, for example, then lived for the wild accumulation of material things, as if food and clothing were the whole of life and nothing else. We should not be so with Christians, those who have a Heavenly Father who knows their basic need. So, speaking to those Christians, if you were to set before you the goal of providing in advance for all future needs, preppers or whatever, then their time and energy would have to be devoted to the accumulation of all these reserves financially. They would never be sure that they'd saved enough. They become selfish, paranoid, worrying. Because there's always a danger of market collapse, which is for us today is right around the corner. Inflation, catastrophe, prolonged illnesses or paralyzing incidents and so forth. It means that God would be robbed of the service of his people. But the real purpose for which they were created is just to worship and love him and to help each other. And the real purpose would be missed. So, coming down to it, the Lord, God in heaven above, makes a covenant with his followers. He says, in effect, to us, if you will put up God's interest first in your life, I will guarantee your future needs. If you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then I will see that you never lack the necessities of life. But he will put you through trials and tribulations. It's kind of like you could say that this is God's Social Security, his program. Our responsibility as a believer is to live for the Lord, trusting God for the future with unshakable confidence he'll provide no matter what. It may even be a martyr. Everybody complains about FEMA camps. I don't like the idea neither. But family, people are going to end up in those camps eventually. What are you going to do when it happens? Witness for God through the times that you're there? You're going to lose faith and blame God for putting you there? Well, let's not forget what happened in Colosseums. Family, those days are coming. It's going to be time, no pun intended, to pay the piper down the road. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of the Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, in thy name have done many wonderful works? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Have you ever thought about that verse? In Matthew 7:22, they say to the Lord, we prophesied for you. We cast out devils. We've done many wonderful works. Well, you know God would never forsake them, right? That ability to prophesy is called tarot cards, seances. How about that? Casting out devils, there is a cooperation between the priests of the Roman Catholic Church, voodoo witch doctors, and others that cast out or exercise, that the demons themselves will make an agreement to leave, thus thereby giving power to the medicine man, voodoo witch doctor, the priest. The priest issue was given to us by Alberto Rivera in testimony that that's what happens. Done many for works, wonderful works. Satan comes to us as an angel in light. These things given, like dowsing for God, say, what are you talking about? Now you get the idea that these events, these abilities did not come from God, but came to the individuals by being deceived, and they were done by demonic interference, influence, and God knew it. Works don't get you there. Being born again will. So, and last and not least, this one of 630 down to 634 is God's Social Security program, and it's a believer's, our responsibility as believer to live for the Lord, as I said. Just like Abraham did. Like Job did. It's no different. It's hard. It is very, very difficult. One's job is simply a means of providing for current needs. Everything above this is invested in the work of the Lord. We're called to live one day at a time. Tomorrow can worry about its own things. But don't mean you sit there with your fingers twiddling. Lord, I'm waiting. Put the clothes on for me. I'll stick my arm up, put my sleeve in. It don't work that way. We have to work. You have to witness. Get up off the butt and move. Because he wants us to work for his people. Because we are his people. When you take him as your Savior. Family, it's going to get tricky. They're getting tricky already. And the supernatural is starting to take a hold. And that's because homosexual marriages being approved. Abortions being discussed and being, and some states are going to approve them. All kinds of things coming around, taking the Ten Commandments out. All this stuff going on is starting to mount up fairly recently. And every time the laws of the land go against God, he moves a step back. And every time he moves a step back, it's kind of thinking like this. You stick your hand in the bucket of sand all the way to the bottom. Jerk it out. it don't leave a hole. What that means is, when I jerk my hand out, that's pulling away from God. Satan fills it up, and God pulls away from you. And Satan fills up the vacuum. Because you pull away from him, there you go. But the thing is, he's there for you when you want to go back to him. Family, we're at the end of the time, and I appreciate you all dropping by. Tonight, Bible study, 7:30 to 9. And we'll talk about the same thing tonight a little bit. And then I have other things to talk about in Bible study tonight. So be sure to join us. It'll be different. That's what I try to do in every broadcast I've ever done in 5 years. Each one's different in some way. Sometimes I bring up same quotes, but I put things in perspective and how they fit in the scheme of things. And then I throw something new in there. Pew! There you go. You like that sound effect? Anyway, I don't have them on my mixer, so I have to make them up. Family, we'll see y'all tomorrow, 4 to 6, broadcast. And tonight, Bible study, 7:30 to 9. Y'all have a great evening. God bless. Good night. This is the Watchman, signing off. Every fear I've ever had just melted into peace. God bless, good night, and signing off.